Hello, I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. We're a church seeking to make disciple-making disciples of Jesus. Thank you to Life FM for continuing to host us. Today, as we look to God's Word, our reading is 1 John 1, verses 1 to 4, so you can begin looking that up now. This sermon was recorded live at Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church, and the preacher is Brett McArdle from Castlemaine Presbyterian Church. So let's read 1 John 1, 1 to 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testified to it, and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete.
Our Father God Almighty, we come before you to seek your hand upon us now. Open our hearts and our minds to receive your word, and speak to us your truth, and lead us in the pathway that leads to life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What do you talk about? Such a simple little question, isn't it? When we gather together in fellowship with other believers, what are the things that we converse with them about? As we meet with our family and with our friends, as we meet with our workmates, what are the things of interest that we like to discuss? What subjects are we happy to raise, or are we courageous enough to speak about together? Then on the other side, what are the points we usually don't want to raise? Today we're going to be looking at the first four verses of 1 John chapter 1. Not John 15, but that's all right. John 15 is relevant to the sermon. And we are going to see how the word of life should indeed be the word of our life. Do you have the word of life in your life? And so I'm going to read 1 John chapter 1 and the first four verses. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Our first point today will be that the word of life is made manifest in our lives when it is expressed by sharing that word with others. Just to repeat, in 1 John 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, which we have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. That life is made manifest in us, and we have seen it and testify to it and proclaim to you that eternal life. The Apostle John was sharing about Jesus Christ, the word of life, and the only real eternal life that we can ever know. As we read these verses, we can see the all-encompassing reality of the presence of Christ in his life. John stressed this reality as being seen and felt in every way, shape and form, that this life was indeed manifested in his life. Touch, sight, sound, and the reality of his true life within him all came together to create an expression of absolute delight and necessity in what John did, in what he was compelled to share. The reality of knowing Jesus personally burst forth into rapturous song. The life he was tasting poured forth in utter joy. There was nothing that could compare to the sheer wonder and exhilaration of knowing the word of life. And so John needed to testify and proclaim this eternal life to all that he could. In our Christian walk, are we filled with the wonder of knowing Jesus? Or are we more humdrum in our attitude towards him? Are we willing to, or even capable, to speak of what he has done in our lives? Or to testify how his mighty power has preserved and blessed us through this life? Do we even acknowledge here how he, in his great providence, has constantly provided us with all the things that we need in this life? Do we see Jesus as preeminent in our lives, our ever-present companion and guide, or rather just as someone that we might acknowledge at certain times? We can ask ourselves many questions and justify why we do what we do. But in the end, it all comes down to this point. Do we know Jesus Christ personally as Lord and Savior? And do we include and welcome him into everything that we do? Because the fact is, if we do not do this, we have been warned that there are consequences. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 22 and 23, we read, "On that day many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I," that is Jesus, "will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" What is so sobering about this is that so many people think that they are right with God and even actively believe they are serving his kingdom through their lives and actions. Yet they lack that one vital component, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In John chapter 14 and verse 15, Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." He continued in verse 21, "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Only when the will of God is sought in our lives, and when we submit ourselves to his will we ever find that Christ and his eternal life is truly manifested in our lives. In verse 2 of our text we read, "The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was made manifest to us." Suddenly, a common justification for why we fail to live like the apostles has been torn away from us. We are often very quick to say that because we did not get to live with Jesus like the apostles did, that we lack a certain impetus or zeal that they had for their ministry. We like to claim that if we'd been able to spend 3 years with Jesus, we too would have been able to shoulder the load that they carried, to travel to different places to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is, his death, his resurrection, his ascension on high. We might even claim that we would be able to suffer until death, as many of them did. We close our eyes to the truth, and his truth does not remain with us. We justify our petty concerns and studiously avoid thinking about the eternal ramifications of our actions. This is the point that John is making here, as he explained in his gospel, It is as we submit to God's will and obey his commands that the word of life is manifested to us. We are on the same footing as the apostles, and the very same footing as all the believers throughout history. When we love God and keep his commandments, then the word of life in Jesus Christ is manifested to us, and we have that same testimony to share about and to testify to that John talks of here. The question sometimes arises, are we trying to do God's work for him? Or are we trying to do and obey God's will? There is a subtle difference here that we need to be aware of. Many people claim to be serving God and misrepresent what they do as godly, and they can lead others astray in their error. As we are told in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14 and 15, and no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. The truly sad thing here is that many of these people will think that they are indeed serving God. So it pays to remember the warning from Matthew 7. Do we prepare a plan and ask God to bless it? Or do we approach God first for guidance before preparing our plan? Even people with the best of intentions can go astray when they act for God before seeking his will. And the sad thing is that once we have begun walking down the wrong track, we tend to continue following that track, unless by the grace of God he intervenes to reveal the proper path for us to follow. It's why we can think of when Paul and Barnabas went to Antioch in Pisidia. They were invited to share a word with the congregation there. In Acts 13, verse 42 through 44, tells us what can happen when people speak of what they had heard. As they went out, the people begged that these things might be told them the next Sabbath. And after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who, as they spoke with them, urged them to continue in the grace of God. The next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. What happened? When we are willing to speak, even beyond the service, about the word of life to those we meet, the results can be dramatic. We will see unbelievers seeing Christ in the life of his people. So when you converse in fellowship with others, does the word of life feature in your conversations? Or are you only really comfortable talking about the things of the world? In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5 through 9, we read, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." The word of life should be present in your life in every part. Not necessarily every single word, but his presence in your heart will be manifested throughout your life, throughout your actions, and through your speech. As we are reminded in Luke chapter 6 and verse 45, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. If the Lord is a real part of your heart, and if the Lord has a real presence in your life, then he will also have a real presence in your conversation. Our second point is this. The sharing of the word of life brings fellowship with God and man. So what is the purpose of this testifying about God? We are informed in 1 John 1 and verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. We speak of what God has done for us, so that we might have fellowship with him, that those who hear our testimony might also be able to share in that relationship with God the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ, along with all of the saints throughout the entire life of the kingdom of God. The disciples asked Jesus several times to teach them how to pray. Jesus provided a simple solution to follow. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We begin by acknowledging and glorifying our Father God, and we submit our way to his will. We ask for our daily needs, not our wants, and we seek his forgiveness for our sin, even as we have already forgiven others for what they have done to us. And finally, we place ourselves totally under his protection. And we do all of this as a corporate body, as a fellowship of believers. You would surely be aware of the promise of Jesus found in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 19 and 20. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. Fellowship brings communion with the Father and the Son, and with all the saints, as is only truly realized when we gather to speak and testify of the word of life and how he fills our heart and what he has accomplished in our life. It is in this fellowship that we can only truly begin to bear fruit for the kingdom of God. John 15 and verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Jesus continued, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Fellowship is found in the sharing of the word of life with one another. And that fellowship is a special privileged occasion which we spend in the presence of the eternal Godhead. It is in this period of fellowship that where we are encouraged in and that we are exhorted in the way of life, when the Spirit works within us to produce his fruit in our lives. This is also when we can experience the presence of God in our lives most clearly at work, in transforming and sanctifying us, conforming us into the image of his Son. In Exodus 34 and verse 29, we read, When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, and he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. There is something about being in the presence of God, of spending time with him in prayer and reading his word. But this fellowship with him imparts to us some part of his glory. In Moses' case, his face shone. But in the lives of his people, the fruit of love, joy, peace appear. Indeed, many of the attributes of God become more evident in us as we spend time with him in fellowship with one another, and as we gather to glorify the Father who is in heaven. Acts 6:15 records about Stephen that his face was like the face of an angel. Whether we realize it or not, the more time we spend in fellowship with God, the more he is imprinted upon us, the more his image is found upon us, and the more the word of life will reach our lips and then burst forth delighted with his praise. His fruit will be more and more evident in our lives. And as we were told in John 15:8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to his disciples. The first question of the Westminster Shorter Catechism asks, what is the chief end of man? The answer given was this: the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Through our fellowship with God, his works in us to produce fruit. This fruit in turn glorifies God. And in so doing, we find the means whereby we can truly enjoy him forever. Which brings us to our third point, is that we can be content or joyful only as we share in fellowship with God and man through the word of life. I can remember hearing an interesting question. If Christians can only handle up to 2 hours a week in the presence of God, how do they really expect to be fit to spend all day and every night in eternity doing the same thing? Being in the presence of God, if this short period each week is too much for them. Is an hour a week too much for you? 2 hours? Do you look forward to spending 24 hours a day, every day, forever and ever with God? Or does the thought of that scare you? Fellowship is our time of enjoying the presence of God with us here and now. When we share his love and his life in our everyday life, so that we experience so much more of his presence in our life. Do we delight in our time with God, or are we resentful for that brief period of time which we could spend serving our own desires and selfish lusts instead? The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And when we turn back to our text in 1 John 1 and verse 4, we read, and we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Do we seek complete joy as defined by Scripture? In fellowship with God for all eternity? Or do we seek our joy in the entertainment offered by the world, which can distract us for a few hours here and there, but ultimately leaves us empty and hollow inside? The world sees an ever-increasing need for wilder and more extreme forms of entertainment, of more and more an insistent that there is no God but us, from which arises the futility and emptiness of existence, as we become the focus and center of our universe. A procession leading from rationalism into self-delusion, and now into the eradication of any capacity to think, by the constant need for something, for anything, to hide our minds from the all-consuming God-shaped void which is in the lives of so many people. Never-ceasing entertainment to hide our emptiness from us and to convince us that we are doing just fine. As people have to be connected 24 hours a day, many even while they're supposed to be asleep, having to be up and hip with the latest fashions, ideas, or trends. Desperate not to be left behind in the wake of the latest thing, their lives spiraling ever downward into despair and gloom, darkness and worthlessness. They are blinded by the ever-elusive Holy Grail, which will somehow raise them to perfection in this demoniacally inspired cesspool of sin and wickedness. So what is lacking? Contentment and joy. The joy that can only be found in true fellowship with God the Father, with His Son Jesus Christ, and with the saints of light who have also been delivered from the kingdom of darkness. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13 and 14. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So how do they hear this good news of redemption? How do they know that their sin has been forgiven? How can they discover that eternal life is on offer to them? By fellowshipping with the people of God who delight to speak of God's word, who delight to speak the word of life because of what God has done for them and what He continues to do in their lives even now. In conclusion, let us remember that our joy can only be complete when we can cheerfully and willingly share the love of God with others, when we can speak of the goodness of God with others, when we can testify of His saving work in our life to others, when we can speak of His continuous provision and sustaining of our lives. That is what we too have seen and heard and felt in our own lives. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Likewise, when we fellowship with the Godhead and with other believers, and when we speak of and glorify God in our lives and through our conversation, it is only then that the word of life is truly a part of our life. Let us pray. Father God Almighty, as we have heard Your word today, help each one of us this day and in the future to delight in Your word of life, to have that joy inescapable seek to be released through the sharing of Your word and Your work in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
I'm Jesse Wolls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church, and I pray you've been blessed as you've spent this time in God's Word. Next week, we'd love to have you join us in person for our service at 10 a.m. I hope to see you there. And as always, if you'd like to make a comment on what you've heard today, if you have a question, or if you're looking for a church, then please get in contact with us. Our website is eaglehawkpc.org.au. You can also contact us through Facebook or Instagram. God bless you.